at the very least, be anti-government, they could be on a possible domestic terrorist watch list. Do you think there's going to be some of the middle-of-the-night visits to people's homes?
I'm expecting it.
Me too. Yeah, me too. All right, hey, Ron, I'm going to call you right after the program, my friend.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you for being here today. As always, always enjoy your company and riding shotgun on the Monday edition of the National Intel Report. And we'll see you next Monday.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for being here today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and the government is out to make you pay for it. Can your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich, but for you? Can you survive when the stock market tanks? History has proven that all this and more may be just around the corner. It's not too late for you to prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead. Protect your money now or forever. Kiss it goodbye. Call Republic Trading Group today and take advantage of our special offerings. We offer over a half century experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge and are prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balance and portfolio protection. As the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this great nation, Republic Trading Group can offer you privacy, safety, and security. We invite you to visit RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com for further information regarding the protection of your wealth or call Republic Trading Group at 800-691-7898 for a private consultation. That's 800-691-7898.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Here, let's get it on. Top of the evening to you. Welcome to, I guess to some degree, a special angry episode of Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. I'm cutting the music. I need every second of this hour we can possibly pull off. I'm your host and commentator for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. You're listening to us live on this 16th day of May, 2011, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Much has happened over the weekend. If I'd known that John was not going to be in a position to do the program the last 2 hours, I would have jumped in. As I have commented in the past, and this is not going to be the subject of tonight's program, I'm only going to take a moment to comment. When John and Bob Chapman had been warning everybody, get out of their 401s, get out of their IRAs, and everybody, you know, just isn't thinking, my comment was no. That's not what they're going to do. They're going to go after government pensions first. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the government ran out of the ability to borrow money today. It's done. And what do? Go after federal government employees' pensions to keep this dog and pony show afloat. Watch out for your states next. Sickening. Let's move on. Barack Obama, last week in El Paso, declared that immigration reform is an economic imperative and is promising to do his best to get an immigration bill pushed through Congress this year. But the question I pose to you is, will legalizing all of the illegal immigration that has taken place over the past several decades improve the struggling U.S. economy, or will it actually make our economic problems worse? Well, I'm sure from the government standpoint, by legalizing them, then they'll no longer be collecting many of the benefits that they've been collecting, except for one problem. Then they start being eligible to collect others. You see, one of the favorite tricks of top politicians is to promise that the economy is going to improve if we just support what it is that they are currently pushing. Stools, anyone? hopefully the American people will not buy the nonsense that Obama is spewing. The truth is that Barack Hussein Obama is wrong about the economic impact of illegal immigration. Illegal immigrants don't do jobs that Americans don't want to do. A million Americans recently showed up to apply for a job at McDonald's. 62,000 were hired. 12,000 more that Obama promised or that McDonald's hired to promise on that given day. That is how desperate Americans are to work these days. Don't try to tell me that there aren't millions of Americans out there that would not pick fruit for minimum wage. The millions upon millions of illegal immigrants in this country are, excuse me, they're not immigrants. Illegal aliens in this country are stealing jobs. They are depressing wages in a whole host of industries, and they are a huge factor in the erosion of the middle class. Millions of middle-class American families cannot afford to provide for their families any longer. They're losing their homes. They're drowning in debt. They're going bankrupt. Rather than what Barack Obama and his minions are proposing, which is to essentially legalize illegal aliens, lawbreakers, we need an immigration policy that makes sense and that protects American jobs. Gee, I thought we already had one. And they're just not enforcing it. Now, before we go any further here, it is important to make several points. It's not a bad thing that people want to come to this nation from another country. A lot of people that want to come to the United States are really hardworking and have really solid character. And this nation has a long tradition of immigrants arriving to build a better life here. No, at different times, this country will need different levels of immigration, but we will always need new immigrants. People on one side of a border are not more valuable than people on another side of a border. There is a reason why our founding fathers believed that all men are created equal. You see, in every nation on earth, there are really, well, frankly, pretty truly wonderful people. Oh, yeah, we should love all men, women, and children, no matter where they were born, no matter what they look like, no matter what color they are. God created us all, and he loves us all dearly, we are told. Now, the reason we shared all that with you is because of the way politics is played in America in 2011. Sounds like a board game, doesn't it? Politics is played. The moment that anyone suggests that there might be a problem with illegal immigration, they're immediately branded with all kinds of horrible labels to put a horrible label on someone that is completely and totally untrue just to score political points is absolutely despicable. How about the great and unbelievably talented musician Carlos Santana, who yesterday down in Florida made some statement publicly at some ball game that blacks and whites who are against illegal immigration are all racists. Funny thing is that some of the organizations that denounce others the loudest should actually be examining themselves. One of the largest pro-illegal invasion organizations is called La Raza, which literally means the race, as if we all couldn't figure that out. Maybe it's time for them to come up with a new name. We all have got to start learning to get along. If not, our society is going to continue to break down. How much further it can break down, I don't know, but it's going to continue to do it. A majority of the American people are not against illegal immigration because they hate another group of people. Rather, they just want all immigrants to go through the front door. They want the government to be sensitive to changing economic conditions. But the sad truth is that the United States government has absolutely refused to secure the U.S. border with Mexico for decades, and this has allowed millions upon millions of criminals, drug dealers, gang members to cross freely into the United States. In addition, by refusing to secure the border, we have allowed new diseases to spread unchecked into this nation. And meanwhile, the law-abiding people that would like to get into this country legally are put through absolute pure living hell. The process is a complete and total nightmare. I can share with you many stories that I know of from a first-hand basis. You see, we've been making it really easy for lawbreakers to not just sneak in the back door, but break in the back door of our country. We've been making it really hard for law-abiding people to get in the front door. What in the world could be wrong about wanting to fix all of that? Once a lot of illegals arrive in the United States, they either try to make a living legally by directly competing with blue-collar American workers for jobs and driving their wages down, or illegally by selling drugs or being involved in other kinds of criminal activity. You see, the point to me is that if an illegal immigrant, an illegal alien, has broken and entered into this country, whether they're trying to make a living, according to this author, legally or illegally, guess what? They're illegal. Whatever they're doing is illegal. But apparently Barack Hussein Obama, and many have certainly questioned the legality of his status, believes that this kind of behavior should be rewarded with a path to citizenship. That's the ticket. You see, the vast majority of illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, pay absolutely no federal or state income taxes. They never intend to. At the same time, they seem more than happy to take advantage of the free social services and benefits offered to them. As a matter of fact, as they're leaving Mexico, they're handed a comic book that tells them exactly how to take advantage of the American system up in Estados Unidos. Stories of how good life in America is just encourages more and more illegals to come to the United States illegally. Now, we need not only an immigration policy that insists that everyone come in through the front door, but we need a policy that's enforced. Oh, we've got the policies. It's just not enforced. Is there anybody out there that cannot agree with what I've just stated? We need to also set immigration levels that our economy can handle. Right now, this economy is struggling. Millions upon millions of Americans are out of work. 44 million Americans are on food stamps. Of course, it's questionable as to whether all of them are Americans or not. 47 million Americans are living in poverty. We cannot take in a whole lot of extra workers right now. You'd think that that would just be common sense. But instead, Barack Hussein Obama wants to grant amnesty to all of the illegal aliens that are already here and put them on a path to citizenship. Wow, do you think that might embolden millions more illegals to come flooding in? Like it did some years ago, thanks to Ready Teddy Kennedy and his plan? Obama's against a border fence, says we don't need it. Matter of fact, he says it's been completed. And meanwhile, thousands more illegals pour into this country every single day. Obama supports all of the sanctuary cities that have openly declared that they are not going to enforce immigration laws. Guess what? Chicago is one of them sanctuary cities, baby. So where do you think all these illegals are going to flock to? Truth is that word about these sanctuary cities gets around real fast. If you live in one of those cities, then you probably know all about it. If Obama gets his way, nobody will be breaking our immigration laws because essentially there will not be any more immigration laws. Not that Junior Bush was a whole lot better. He was an absolute disaster on immigration as well. The truth is that our immigration policy has been slowly eroding the U.S. middle class for many decades. But according to Barack Obama, we desperately need to implement this immigration reform plan for the good of the middle class. He says one way to strengthen the middle class in America is to reform the immigration system so that there is no longer a massive underground economy that exploits a cheap source of labor while depressing wages for everybody else. Well, let's see. We take Hose, Hose B, and all their families and make them legal, and pretty soon they're going to bring up Hose C and Hose D from Mexico, and they can start trimming palm trees. What a joke, my friends. The reality is that illegal immigration hurts that U.S. middle class, and it is severely damaging to the U.S. economy. Oh, excuse me. They shop at Walmart and Kmart and, you know, Food Warehouse, etc. They're paying sales tax. So what? Is the amount of sales tax revenue taken in by the IRS on behalf of the Federal Reserve Bank, is that making up for all the income taxes they don't pay? We know they don't pay it because they're sending $45 billion a year back home, wherever home is, via Wells Fargo. Is it Wells Fargo? Western Union, I'm sorry. Yeah, probably Wells Fargo, too. My friends, because of illegal immigration, every single day wages are lost. Taxes do not get collected. Hospitals provide free health care for which they are never paid. Huge criminal gangs of foreigners are roaming our streets, and the cost of providing social services to illegal aliens is bankrupting state and local governments. What I'm about to share with you are a series of facts which will prove that illegal immigration is an absolute nightmare for this economy. Number one, illegal immigrants take jobs away from American citizens. According to a review of the U.S. Bureau of Labor Stats and Census Bureau data, legal and illegal immigrants gained over 1 million additional jobs between 2008 and 2010, even while millions of American citizens were losing their jobs during that same time period. Number two, the majority of our immigrants now sneak in through the back door that the federal government purposely leaves open. And thanks to the negligence of the federal government, far more people move into the United States illegally than come in through the legal front door immigration process, and that has got to change. Whether you want to believe it or not, illegal aliens generally do not pay taxes. The vast majority of illegals would never even dream of paying income taxes, but Mexicans living in America send billions upon billions of dollars out of the United States and back to Mexico every single year. That is but one example. A good portion of the things we'll talk about during the course of this hour may reference Mexicans. But don't by any stretch of the imagination try to label me racist. After all, we know the only people that are racist in the world happen to be whites. Just bullcrap. Number four, although illegal aliens pay next to nothing in taxes, they have no problem receiving tens of billions of dollars worth of free education benefits, free health care benefits, free housing assistance, and free food stamp benefits. Well, there's a bunch of communities in the United States now openly advertise that they will help illegal aliens with all of those things. Number five, and this is the one that angers me beyond belief, my wife retires in 4 more days. And amongst the reasons why, the cost of educating the children of illegal immigrants is staggering. It is estimated in these economic times that U.S. taxpayers spend $12 billion a year on primary and secondary school education for the children of illegal immigrants, so-called anchor babies. Number six, thanks to illegal immigration, California's overstretched health care system is on the verge of collapse. Dozens of California hospitals and emergency rooms have shut down over the past decade because they could not afford to stay open after being endlessly swamped by illegal immigrants. I've got to stop that. They are not illegal immigrants. They are illegal aliens. An immigrant, by definition, is someone who's come in the front door. Immigrants don't come in the back door. There's no need for it. All these hospitals and emergency rooms in California shutting down. They could not afford to stay open after being endlessly swamped by illegal invaders who were simply not able to pay for the services they were receiving. Not just simply not able, they had no intention of paying for it because they know what a weak suck bunch of laws we have in this country that are never enforced. And so in California, as a result, the remainder of the healthcare system is now being overloaded. It's led to brutally long waits, diverted ambulances, even unnecessary patient deaths. Sadly, the state of California now ranks dead last out of all 50 states in the number of emergency rooms per million people. California! Last. Number 7. It was estimated that there were approximately 7.7 million illegal aliens employed by U.S. employers during 2008. 7.7 million illegal aliens illegally being employed. There's a law against that, but these employers get away with bloody murder. How much better would our economy look if all of those jobs were being filled by American workers? Number 8, the region along the U.S.-Mexico border is now an open war zone. Just across the U.S. border, the city of Juarez, Mexico, is considered to be one of the most dangerous cities on the entire planet because of the brutal drug war being waged there. Estimates are deaths in the last 2 years of over 40,000 people who happened to get caught in the crossfire of this drug war. Juarez has now become the murder capital of the Western Hemisphere. Much of that violence has begun to spill over into the areas of southwestern United States. Recently, NPR described one incident in the Juarez Valley that involved American citizens, wherein they said a couple of weeks ago, gunmen in the Juarez Valley killed the Mexican relative of Fort Hancock High School student. When the student's family in Fort Hancock heard about it, they crossed the border at 10 a.m. to see the body and took the student with them. By 10:30, they had stabbed the relatives that went with him, which included his grandparents, with an ice pick. Those words from school superintendent Jose Franco. My understanding is that the gentleman is like 90 years old and they poked his eyes out with an ice pick. I believe those people are still in intensive care here in a hospital in the United States. Number 9. A substantial percentage of young illegal immigrants end up in gangs. U.S. authorities say there are now over 1 million members of criminal gangs operating inside the U.S. According to federal statistics, these 1 million gang members are responsible for up to 80% of the violent crimes committed in the U.S. each year. Latino gangs, made up primarily of illegal aliens, are responsible for much of that violence. And according to the Center for Immigration Studies, some of the most notorious gangs in the country are made up almost entirely of illegal aliens. CIS says gang investigators in Virginia estimate that 90% of the members of MS-13, the Mala Noche, the most notorious immigrant gang, are illegals. Number 10, there's the 18th Street Gang. They're giving the Mala Noche a run for their money. It is believed that the 18th Street Gang has thousands of members in the city of Los Angeles alone. In fact, the gang has become so notorious that there are even rumors that some police officers in Los Angeles simply will not venture into the areas most heavily controlled by the 18th Street Gang. Wikipedia comments about the 18th Street Gang by saying a U.S. Justice Department report from 2009 estimated that the 18th Street Gang has a membership of some 30,000 to 50,000 members, with 80% of them being illegal aliens from Mexico and Central America, and is active in 44 cities in 20 states. Its main source of income is street-level distribution of cocaine and marijuana, and to a lesser extent, heroin and methamphetamine. Gang members also commit assault, auto theft, carjacking, drive-by shootings, extortion, homicide, identification or ID fraud, and robbery. Number 11. The drug war in northern Mexico is one gigantic bloodbath. The Mexican government says that as many as 28,000 people have been slaughtered by the drug cartels since 2007. We now know it's worse than that. A very significant percentage of those deaths have happened in areas right along the U.S. border, and yet our federal government still sees no reason to get serious about border security. No fence, open doors, give them amnesty, and the problem will go away. It's already proven the problem will not go away. But if you remove the incentive for these people to stay here, crack down on all the employers, one illegal, whether the employer claims to know about it or not, gets the SOB shut down. You pull his license, you put him out of business. And you enforce two or three or four or five of those, and the rest of them are going to come in line real quick. Number 12. It's an open secret that Mexican drug cartels are openly conducting military operations inside the United States. The handful of Border Patrol agents that we have guarding the border are massively outgunned and outmanned. One agent who patrols the border and who asked to remain anonymous told Fox News recently that to say that this area is out of control is an understatement. Another federal agent put it this way in an email to Fox News when he said, "Every night we're getting beaten like a piñata at a birthday party by drug and alien smugglers." Number 13, federal border officials say that Mexican drug cartels have not only set up shop on U.S. soil, but are actually maintaining lookout bases in strategic locations in the hills of southern Arizona. If you come to my state today, there are actually signs that have been put up by the federal government warning American citizens not to venture into certain wilderness routes that are being used by Mexican drug cartels to bring in the drugs. Number 14, the drug war being waged on both sides of the border is so violent that it is almost unimaginable. One very prominent Mexican assassin known as the Soup Maker has confessed that he made approximately 300 bodies disappear by dissolving them in acid baths. Right now, there's essentially nothing that is preventing the next Soup Maker from crossing the U.S. border and moving into your neighborhood. Driving home last night, the highway was shut down. My wife and I were out at the club for a while. We were forced to take McDowell Road all the way from about 19th Avenue out to 107th Avenue. And it was amazing. It was like driving through Little Mexico. Every strip mall, outdoor taco stands working till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. You wonder what else they're peddling. Number 15, Arizona police are being openly warned by the Mexican drug cartels that if they try to interfere with the drug traffic in their area, they will be taken out by drug cartel snipers. Number 16, when the U.S. military endlessly hunts for members of Al-Qaeda in the caves of Afghanistan and on the streets of Iraqi cities, a very real threat has been building just south of our own border. Over the past 15 to 20 years, Hezbollah has set up operations all over Mexico, Central America, and South America. Hezbollah is reportedly making a lot of money in the drug trade and in trafficking illegal aliens. And sadly, our government is largely ignoring this. And who, what country is Hezbollah representative of? I'll leave you up to figure that one out. When we come back from the break that's coming up in a few moments, we will conclude with this commentary. I'm going to move on with commentary by a man who's really become a good friend. He is an Arizona rancher down near the border. He's continued to keep readers of my FederalObserver.com publication up to date on the status of what's taking place down there. Got some music for me, Mikey? Oh, is that right? Well, that's okay. Oh, that's right, because we started a little bit late. All right. Well, anyway, when we come back, we're going to finish this commentary. And I'm going to share with you Ed Ashurst's latest commentary. But those of you who do not live near these southwestern borders that don't really have a clue, and maybe for some bleeding heart liberals that are tuning in for the very first time today just to hear what this alternative media stuff is all about, I hope I shock the daylights out of you. As for the rest of you, get into the archives tonight. Download this program. Share it with the people that think you're nuts. Got a better idea. Let them come on out here to Arizona, take a little summer vacation. Let's see how hot we can really make it out here, huh? Stay with us. We'll be back.
And that's what I always hear when you sigh. Never in my word land could there be words to reveal in a phrase how I feel. Have you ever heard two turtle doves feeling coo when they love? That's the kind of magic music we get from our lips when we kiss. And there's a weepy old willow, he really knows how to cry. That's how I'd cry in my pillow if you grew tired and just said goodbye. Lullaby a bird and whisper low, kiss me sweet, then we'll go.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org for our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy. We urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try MicroPlant Powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, MicroPlant Powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Hey, baby, we are back. Yeah, I got to run outside, tie the umbrella down before it took off to Oz with Dorothy and Toto. And I got a lot of emails coming in during the course of this program from Mike. Inside sources are saying that Obang Me will, I repeat, will declare amnesty. Larry says, my, aren't you intense today? Ha ha. Yeah, they're coming to take me away. Tommy from Brooklyn sends me a note saying illegal aliens equals unregistered Democrats. Yeah, well, it also equals cheap labor for Republicans. Also for Mike, heads up, private medical clinics have been set up to divert the strain from emergency room use. Same problem. How do they get paid? Hippie sends me a cartoon. The only way to stop a flood is to put tanks on the border, cut off the flow. And Mike, once again, you asked for some music Southern style. Can't run it tonight, brother. Reason number 17. This is where it starts to come home to an awful lot of people. Each year it costs the various United States, the respective individual states, billions of dollars to incarcerate illegal alien criminals that should never have been allowed into this country in the first place. It is estimated that illegal criminals make up approximately 30% of the population in federal, state, and local prisons, and that the total cost of incarcerating them is more than $1.6 billion annually. Number 18. And we still seem to manage to keep coming back to this one. Drug cartels and the gangs always seem to be a couple of steps ahead of our agents along the border. Approximately 75 tunnels along the U.S. border with Mexico have been discovered by law enforcement authorities in the last 4 years alone. And so the question I pose to you, how much do you think all this crime, this gang violence, drug cartel activity is costing our economy? Why won't the federal government do what the Constitution requires and secure the border? Aha. But Barack Hussein Obama, the man with a plan, he says he gwine save the day, baby. Let me share with you a quote from the Massa and how he describes his plan. He says, we're not going to ship back 12 million people. You got to keep in mind, Obama doesn't count very well. You know, the benefits of affirmative action education. We're not going to ship back 12 million people. We're not going to do it as a practical matter. We would have to take all our law enforcement that we have available, and we would have to use it and put people on buses and rip families apart. And that's not who we are. That's not what America is about. And so what I've proposed is, you say we're going to bring these folks out of the shadows. We're going to make them pay a fine. They're going to have to learn English. They're going to have to go to the back of the line. But they will have a pathway to citizenship over the course of 10 years. Well, let's take a look here, Obama. How many illegal aliens do you think are going to step forward to pay a fine? 1%? If you're lucky. How many of them do you think are going to show up for English classes? Who's going to make them do it, Uncle Remus? Are we going to have law enforcement officials running around trying to collect fines from illegal aliens and trying to get them to attend their English lessons? Habla inglés, por favor. According to Obama, the millions upon millions of illegal aliens that are in this country are going to be glad to willingly do the following. Admit they broke the law. Pay back taxes and a fine. Learn to habla inglés. Be willing to undergo background checks before starting the legalization process. I kid you not, folks. These 4 points are taken directly from Obama's plan. So what are illegal immigrants or illegal aliens or criminal lawbreakers going to do when this plan is passed? 99% of them are going to laugh their assets off and just keep on doing what they've been doing, working under the table. You see, large numbers of illegal aliens are already enjoying the high life in the dozens of sanctuary cities across the United States. What I share with you now is how the Ohio Jobs and Justice PAC, Political Action Committee, defines sanctuary cities. They state, generally, sanctuary policies instruct city employees not to notify the federal government of the presence of illegal aliens living in their communities. The policies also end the distinction between legal resident aliens and illegal aliens, so that illegal aliens often benefit from taxpayer-funded government services and programs as well. Hey, man, sounds like a good deal to me. Can I sign up for that plan? After all, who wouldn't want to earn all income tax-free and yet enjoy unlimited government services? My friends, today we're being told that we need to make life as comfortable as possible for the waves of illegal aliens that are coming in. In fact, Barack Obama says that all of us need to make sure that our kids are learning how to speak Spanish. You know, he goes on to say, I don't understand when people are going around worrying about, we need to have English only. They want to pass a law. We want English only. Now, I agree that immigrants should learn English. I agree with this, Obama says, but understand this. Instead of worrying about whether immigrants can learn English, they'll learn English. You need to make sure your child can speak Spanish. I don't know about you folks, but I find all of this utterly insane. The cold, hard reality of the matter is that we have tightly secured the border between South Korea and North Korea for over 50 years. We could surely secure our own borders if we really wanted to. But instead, we continue to leave our border with Mexico completely wide open. Thousands of criminals and gang members and drug pushers continue to come in completely unchecked every single day. Meanwhile, the rest of us have to subject ourselves to some of the most humiliating security measures imaginable before we're even allowed to get on an airplane to take a vacation to Mexico. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Over the weekend, I received an email from a couple. I don't know if they listen to this program or not. I really don't care. I don't want you to misinterpret that I don't care that they're not listening, but they basically reamed me out because I was not personally writing articles about the illegal invasion and Obama's determination and desire to make them all legal, to give them all a pathway to citizenship. I mean, here's the email I was sent. Obama has just said he was going to put in amnesty, but not one of your columns is about against amnesty and illegal. These people obviously can't write. Why? Because all of the Republicans running for president in 2012 are for amnesty, which shows Soros and Gregorian didn't just cross the aisle this time, but controls the Democrats in name only and the Republicans. I'm not kidding. These people cannot write. Both parties as one under the Soros Party. Isn't that the way things are today and back in 08, too, and probably before? No guts, Bennett, to go against the GOP and all their horrible Republican candidates in 2012 for amnesty, for you to write a column against amnesty and illegals yourself? My comment to this couple was, my website, federalobserver.com, has been a strong proponent against amnesty for many years. Don't even try to challenge me with the guts thing. I live in Arizona. How the hell do you think I feel? Well, she then comes back with some other smarmy commentary, and I don't even waste my time because these people obviously aren't paying attention. It is, as it has been for some years, one of the most important subject matters we have to deal with in this nation. It affects our economy. You know, I got an email from Granny this morning. Apparently, the USDA inspectors, that's, what is that, United States Department of Agriculture. You know, we've got paid employees of the USDA down in Mexico inspecting the cattle that are going to get shipped up to America to turn them into hamburger to serve at McDonald's and on your dinner table? Well, because they're in such fear of their life with the drug wars going down that the USDA representatives have retreated. They're leaving Mexico. They're coming back up here. And they'll inspect the cattle as they're brought into this country. Well, first and foremost, we've got a hell of an agriculture, we've got a hell of a beef growing concern in this country. What are we importing more potentially diseased meat from Mexico for? Come on, you think it's any different with their cattle than it is with their lettuce and their tomatoes? Granny and I were talking about, and I can't remember if it was a friend of hers or somebody that she knew, people were getting sick in the house and they went up and started inspecting, and these illegal aliens who happened to be from Mexico were defecating in the attic of a home they were doing some work on. For those of you who don't understand the meaning of the word defecating, it means they were doing number two, going poop, taking a crap, whatever you want to call it, doo-doo, in the attic of somebody's home they were working on. You think it's any different when they're picking lettuce and tomatoes and carrots and broccoli out in the fields? You think if they're going to do it in somebody's attic, I guarantee you they're doing it in the farm fields. And that stuff is on its truck tonight on the way to your local Walmart. We've got an amazing amount of agricultural land in this nation. I wouldn't import their beef. I wouldn't import their oil. I wouldn't import their lettuce, their broccoli, their cauliflower, their tomatoes, their carrots. I can tell you what I'll tell them what to do with the cucumbers. Any more than I want to see the continued illegal importation of their citizens. Now, if you say I'm getting anti-Mexican, I guess to some degree maybe I am. Because they're the biggest violators of the problem in this nation. And I don't mean everybody who has a Hispanic last name. My wife and I know a couple with three marvelous kids. He came to this country as a refugee from Cuba at the age of 16. His wife's father came up here as an illegal many years ago. He stood in line, though. He went back to the back of the line and did it the right way, eventually became a citizen. His daughter eventually became a citizen. The two of them now have three lovely kids. They actually wound up adopting her sisters. The mother didn't care. She's going to stay up here in Estados Unidos and bleed off the system as much as she could. She got deported, rightfully so. You want to come here? By all means, my hand is stuck out to welcome you, open arms. But damn it, do it the right way. Stop. You know, Paul Newman had a line in Cool Hand Luke. No, it's not the one where he says, I can eat 50 eggs. It's when he finally screams out to the rest of the prisoners, stop feeding off me! Because that's what illegals from all over the world are doing. They're feeding off me. They're feeding off you. They're feeding off our children and grandchildren. I have had just about a GD enough. Haven't you? Oh, I'm hot under the collar, brother. Yes, sirree, Bob. Just got a nice little quick Skype message from my buddy Raj down in Argentina. He'll be coming back on the air pretty soon. We got a full week this week. Very full week this week. And I'm going to see if we can work something out with Raj, bring him back up on Thursday. Because I feel bad we haven't had him back on yet since he was on. A lot of stuff going on. Look, time is going to prevent me from sharing with you Ed Ashurst's column. I may give you a little bit of a teaser, share with you the opening segue of it and his comments. Because if we do nothing else, if it serves no other purpose but to get you to go read the words from an Arizona rancher who lives down on the border. And at the bottom of his column, please, I beg you. Nah, forget it, Mikey. I beg you to follow the link and go back to read his previous columns. It will give you a far better understanding and insight as to what goes on the southern border of these United States of America. Ed's latest column is entitled, There Are No Cool Heads in Portal. Irregardless of which side of the political spectrum you reside, Portal, Arizona is a beautiful place located in the mouth of Cave Creek on the eastern slope of the Chiricahua Mountains. Not much more than a hole in the road, which continues west of the town of Paradise and eventually ascends to the top of the mountain at a campground located at a spot called Rustler Park. The small populace of Portal is partially made up of retirees, wealthy enough to own a piece of the pricey land, not a few who could be described as liberal academics. A short distance up the canyon is the Southwest Research Station of the Museum of Natural History. This area and the Chiricahua Range as a whole is the best example of neotropical bird habitat in the United States. It is the home of the greater and lesser long-nosed bat, the famous trogon, the so-called endangered spotted owl, and hundreds of other rare species. It is a bird watcher's paradise. It is burning down. About a week ago, what is now being called Horseshoe Fire Number 2 was started by illegal aliens in the area of Burrow Springs near the headwaters of Horseshoe Canyon. Border Patrol agents tracked four aliens to the very start of the fire. The first Forest Service firefighters to arrive at the site observed the same tracks. Horseshoe Fire Number 1 was started near the same spot almost exactly a year ago, also ignited by illegal aliens. In the past 3 years alone, no less than 11 fires have been started by illegal aliens in the Chiricahua Mountains and the adjacent Peloncilla Mountains. No less than 120,000 acres have burned. Cost to the American taxpayers to fight those fires is nearing $70 million. U.S. Forest Service itself admitted that Horseshoe Fire Number 1 cost in excess of $10 million to fight. The Three Triangle Ranch has a forest grazing permit in Horseshoe Canyon. In the summer of 2010, the Three Triangle manager was told by the Forest Service that his permit numbers were going to be cut to less than 200 head of cattle in the pasture that previously ran in excess of 400. Horseshoe fire number two is still burning out of control, consuming everything in its path. But in the first stages, its primary fuel was grass, amply available due to undergrazing on the horseshoe allotment. The wind blowing southwest to the northeast carried the fire at an astounding speed down Horseshoe Canyon and over a ridge into Sulphur Canyon, another undergrazed allotment. And from the mouth of Sulphur, it skirted around the foot of the mountains by Sanford Hill, going north to the very top of Portal itself. You can begin to understand what's taking place. Three Triangle Ranch cows saved the town of Portal. The Forest Service will claim that a fire break made by their bulldozers should get the credit, but in reality, as the fire reached the edge of the town, it burned onto a corner of a large cow pasture, one of the few that had been heavily grazed, and it simply ran out of fuel. You understand the words conservation, don't you? We're not talking about the tree-hugging type, the save the animals, save the trees. They don't understand that the animals and the forest and the trees and the grazing land all interact together. In 1994, there was a fire in the area near Wrestler Park that became known as the Rattlesnake Fire. Prior to this fire, Forest Service employees had collected seeds from the area, nurtured thousands of seedlings ready to plant. And after the Rattlesnake Fire, the Forest Service proposed a sale of burned timber to finance the planting of the seedlings in the area destroyed by the fire. The fight was on. The local environmental community, with the help of the Southwest Center for Biological Diversity and other eco-terrorist groups, sued the federal government to stop the timber sale. The court ruled in favor of the environmental wackos, but the Forest Service appealed, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals eventually overturned the original decision of the lower court and ruled in favor of the U.S. Forest Service. How rare. Not long before this, the Forest Service had proposed a small 10-acre timber sale near the same area, which immediately set off another firestorm of protest from the same group of wackos. Within a matter of a few days, they were able to inspire thousands of letters of protest against the proposed timber sale. The word was put out that the Forest Service was clear-cutting the entire Chiricahua Range, when in reality the sale was not to exceed 10 acres. And yet hundreds of those protest letters were written on university letterhead paper and signed by many PhDs, that means phony doctors in my estimation, from all over the United States. And in frustration, the Forest Service canceled the timber sale, thinking it not worth the fight. The results of the mismanagement and hatreds of loggers and cowboys has produced an unnatural forest that is virtually choking on its own excess of down timber, undergrowth, unharvested grass. It is at best a time bomb waiting to be set off by a bolt of lightning, or in this case, the match of a drug smuggler. And so, my friends, the pendulum swings back and forth, with technique and practice going from one extreme to the other, and common sense often being overlooked. These words I share with you from Ed Ashurst, a simple and plain-spoken man, a rancher, down on the southern border of Arizona. I invite you, go to federalobserver.com, read Ed Ashurst's column, and when you get to the bottom, there's a link that says the Ashurst Archive. Please, I implore you, read it, follow it, share it, send the links out on these columns. This is not a man who's racist by any stretch of the imagination. He is a man who speaks the truth of that which he lives through each and every day. Take a look at another headline at the top of the page from Kimberly Dvorak, who I hope to have on later this week. Democrats push the DREAM Act and use passage as a carrot for entitlement reform. The column which I shared with you for the majority of this program, entitled Barack Obama is Wrong, 18 facts which prove that illegal immigration is an absolute nightmare for the U.S. economy. There will be much more, because I'm angry again. The time has come for me to explode with the Federal Observer and go back to doing what I do best, which is raising America's awareness of the insanity of the invasion of these United States of America.